This is Jeff and Dan.
The show's talk is cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, here on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. All right, I'm told that there's a special edition at 5 o'clock today, a special edition of Storytime called Fire on the Mountain, so you can guess what that's about. I'm not going to cover the fire today. I'm going to bring you side four of the Beatles' Black Album, because we need something to cheer us up right now, that's for sure. So, I'll read you some stuff from a book called The Big Con. And then, the Beatles' Black Album. And we're having our fundraiser, so please donate to KEPW this month to support KEPW's unique and valuable programming with as little as $5 per month membership or a single $30 or more donation. You can make a big difference in our community. Plus, you'll receive a unique KEPW t-shirt and our newsletter. The best way to donate is to email staff, STAFF, at KEPW.org or call 541-833-0622. Leave us a message and we'll promptly respond. You can mail your donation to KEPW at P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. If you mail your check this month and make it out to Helios with Eugene Peaceworks in the memo line, donations up to $500 will be doubled. Donations can also be given on our website at KEPW.org. Your contribution helps to share important information on the work of countless local nonprofits, empowering youth through the KEPW Youth Radio Project and unique programming such as our local Latinx Youth Voices, starting this month at 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. To donate, email staff, STAFF, at KEPW.org or call 541-831-0622. Mail your donation to KEPW at P.O. Box 11182 Eugene, Oregon 97440, or visit kepw.org. Thanks for your support. Like I say, your donations are doubled this month, so we really need your help on that. And so I'm going to give you my spiel coming up on why it's important to support independent media, why you're missing out if you don't support independent media. And then I got a little bit of copy that I'm going to read you. Don't usually read copy, but hey, it's fundraising month. We need your support here. So, and it's good copy. So, KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, streaming online at kpw.org. The opinions on this show are not that of Peaceworks or KPW or the staff. Please use your own brain at all times. I'll get more into that coming up here. And then, the Beatles' Black Album to cheer you up. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. We'll be right back. All right, you've all heard that before, so let's get right to it here. Like I say, there's a special edition of Storytime coming up at 5, so you're going to want to tune in for that and get out there and tell your friends that Storytime at 5, called Fire on the Mountain, about these raging forest fires that we've been having because of our government's lack of... because our government is sold out to multinational corporations, which is what this show is currently about. How the government, the corporations are sponsored by the state. All right, so the reason you want to support independent media is, you know, you're missing out if you're not listening to independent media, because you're going to get a different perspective. And Storytime's an example of, and our news, you're going to get a different perspective. And I was just listening to Coast Range Radio, too. You're going to get a different perspective and some different information about what causes these forest fires. So that's one really important reason to support us. Because you're not going to get that from corporations. This is the community here in Eugene. These are your own community members, your own neighbors, that we go out and get opinions from and get statements and information from your neighbors who are working in your community. This is something that corporations are not going to do for you. Think about it. What they're just going to give you what they want to give you. Independent media, you're getting what your neighbors, you're getting stuff from your neighbors. So, and you know, when you listen to corporate media, it's kind of depressing because they're not giving you any solutions. They're just giving you problems constantly. And I guess some people are into that. I'm into finding out what to do about it. And usually that's the thing. Usually there is something that you can do about it, that the world isn't just a bunch of problems. We're not all cursed. We're not. The world isn't just a bunch of evil people here to be to toil in life and suffer until the afterlife. That's not what you find when you listen to independent media and support independent media. Is that isn't true. There's a solution. There's a reason for things. So and there's groups that are out there trying to solve problems. There's groups of people that will bring you music, that'll play you their music collections that you haven't heard. There's music that you haven't heard before. So another reason, and there's artists that are promoting themselves, and artists and musicians that are promoting their work. And if we didn't have the COVID, the deforestation virus right now, there would be theater that you could go to, and we're working on getting some theater in here, too. Some shows that will give you theater and promote the theater in Eugene. And these artists intentionally shun corporations. They're not, you know, punk rock, they don't... It's the DIY aspect of punk rock. You're not... You don't want to use a corporation. You don't want to sell out to the corporations. So it's much more difficult to promote yourself. And you need independent media to do that. And so that's another reason why you want to support independent media. All right, so coming up, The Big Con, and you know, it's just a book that I picked up from the St. Vincent de Paul, the thrift store. You know, but I've read a lot about the media, kind of an armchair media expert, armchair media researcher. So what I've read in this book is pretty much true for what I've read in other places. But yeah, you want to use your own brain at all times. Don't take my word for it. Research this stuff yourself. And yeah, so like I say, please donate to KPW this month to support KPW's unique and valuable programming. We're an all-volunteer, listener-supported independent community radio station. And so with $5 a month or a $30 one-time donation or more, you can make a big difference. And this month, if you donate and put Helios on your check, they're going to double that donation. So, and that's send your donation to KPW at P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. Or you can call us at 541-833-0622. That's P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. And of course, you can donate at kepw.org. So yeah, coming up, the big con, and then to cheer you up, I got the Beatles Black album. Simone's Storytime is, we have a special edition of that at 5. And I'm going to play you something from Joshua, our new volunteer, too, in a few minutes. Something he created himself, an artist from Eugene, our new volunteer, created this song that I'm going to play you in a few seconds here. After the Kazumi guitar solo. Okay, it's me again. That was Josh, our new volunteer. Something he created from scratch. Something you're not going to find on corporate radio because, you know, they're not going to play stuff like that. So that's why you want to support independent media by sending your check this month, you know, because Helios will double your donation this month. All right, so what this is the premise, basic premise of this guy's book. What's his name here? Jonathan Chait. It's called The Big Con. What he's saying is that Republicans, you know, and you conservatives out there, you don't realize this. And I get it, you know, both the left and the right have sold out the middle class and the working class. So I get it. You voted in a buffoon to send a message that we're not going to put up with this crap anymore. Okay, I get that. But, you know, it's not working. So you've made your point, and so now we need to get back to reality here and then and force Joe Biden to not go to war, not spend all our money on weapons, and start a Green New Deal and get some jobs going out there and do some Keynesian economics and prime the pump and then get back to normal society. We don't have to be socialists. We don't have to jump into the socialist thing necessarily, but Keynesian economics, you prime the pump until businesses can take over and do it right, which they never seem to do, but if they did, we wouldn't need any socialism, would we? All right, so his basic premise is that the Republicans have moved far to the right, and they're basically just helping the elite, the rich. And, of course, the Democrats have moved to the center, but, of course, if you read other pundits, they will tell you that the Democrats have basically embraced corporatism, and they're getting all their donations. The neoliberal side of the Democrats are getting all their donations from corporations. So they've moved what he's calling the center is the corporate sponsorship of the Democrats. But the Republicans are claiming that they're going to do stuff for the working class and for you small businesses, but they really just rape you and give all the money to corporations. And that money never trickles down, because when you give money at the top, they just put it in the bank and you never see that again. When you give it to the bottom, you might actually see that money, because that people don't put it in the bank, they spend it. So, the Republicans are just basically the rentier class that just are looting the treasury, and you're never going to see any of that money. So, so that's what this book, The Big Con, is about. All right, so this is the media, because I do a lot of media analysis on this show. So this is the chapter, the subchapter from Media, The Dog That Didn't Watch. The subchapter, Media Prejudice. Excuse me. Blaming the media is, of course, the easiest crutch of the frustrated partisan. And that's the other thing, is that, as you can see, the Republicans are not bipartisan at all. They're not going to deal. They have not dealt with, even in the Bush era, they just are not negotiating anymore at all. Where there used to be some negotiation between the left and the right, now the Republicans just are not negotiating at all. And we can see that, obviously, in the mainstream news. I don't have to, this is just a fact. So, anybody who listens to the news can see that. So, blaming the media is, of course, the easiest crutch of the frustrated partisan. We should therefore be clear about our parameters. It is certainly not the case that the media have systematically favored Republicans over Democrats, while decades of conservative complaint have made most reporters and editors ultra-skittish about perceived liberal bias. It is also true that most elite journalists vote Democratic and approach the liberal side of most issues with more familiarity and understanding. Surveys of journalists show that they tend naturally to share the belief systems of educated professionals. Compared with the public as a whole, they are more secular, more likely to support gay rights, believe in evolution, and so on. The same surveys also show, however, that journalists hold somewhat right-of-center views on economic questions. While they oppose supply-side economics, they are far more likely than the voting public to support free trade and to believe that Social Security and Medicare must be pared back. The ideology of the media, then, is not uniform liberalism, but the moderate liberalism of the elite, tilting sharply leftward on values and slightly rightward on fiscal issues. Not surprisingly, then, reporters and mainstream pundits tend to define moderates as politicians who share their socially liberal, fiscally conservative proclivities. Republicans who win the cherished moderate label are usually figures like Christine Todd Whitman, the staunchly anti-tax former New Jersey Republican governor who frequently dissented from her party's social conservatism. Even Steve Forbes, a rabidly supply-sider, and Jude Winiski, an acolyte, was not infrequently described as a moderate because he had once supported abortion rights. Conversely, a Republican such as Gary Bauer, a social conservative activist who opposes Social Security privatization and favors a higher minimum wage, has never been described as a moderate in any major publication despite his dissenting from his party's pro-business orthodoxy. When a GOP Congressman John Boehner ascended to the role of House Majority Leader in 2006, the Washington Post described him thus, quote, a Catholic Boehner has a strongly conservative voting record, but is more of a Chamber of Commerce Republican than a religious conservative. End quote. This sentence contains all the prevailing assumptions of the elite media. Boehner's religiosity is held up as evidence of his conservatism, but his alliance with the business lobby is not. Indeed, his pro-business stance is evidence of a mainstream sensibility. These same prejudices make the media suspicious of populist themes. Neutral reporters habitually use the phrase class warfare to describe the Democratic opposition to shifting the burden of the tax code downward, and even more frequently use demagoguery to describe any resistance to changes in Medicare or Social Security. On the latter issue, especially, the media have thrown themselves squarely in the Republican corner, which became perfectly clear in the fight over privatizing Social Security. Conservatives have long opposed Social Security on principle. The 1936 GOP nominee Alf Landon called it a cruel hoax. Barry Goldwater suggested it should be abolished. In the 80s, conservatives recognized the impossibility of abolishing the program altogether and turned instead to the idea of transforming it into a system of personal accounts whereby each retiree would invest his own public pension. Serious liberal policy analysts interpreted this as a plan to phase the system out completely. For a long time, conservatives did not feel the need to keep this desire secret. Peter Farrar, who designed the first privatization plan for the Heritage Foundation and tirelessly championed the cause, explained in a 2005 interview with Knight Ritter, a lot of conservatives thought Social Security was an unjustified invasion into the private sector, but they weren't getting anywhere because that was all negative politics. All right, skip down. So this is the subchapter, The Proudly Ignorant. The establishmentarian instincts of the media are reinforced by a general lack of interest in policy. You might imagine Washington reporters or pundits as policy mavens, spending their days poring over obscure budget tables and their nights in long, earnest discussions of tax reform over drinks. The truth is that the political press corps closely follows political maneuverings and mostly ignores policies. Having spent a great deal of time in the company of newspaper reporters, I can attest that they consider policy, especially economic policy, mind-numbing minutiae beyond their purview. During the 2000 election, for instance, Ted Koppel, the former host of Nightline, was asked on Larry King Live about the dispute between Gore and Bush over what proportion of the Texas governor's tax cut benefited the very rich. Were you impressed with this fuzzy top 1%, $1.9 trillion bit? Asked King. Koppel replied, "You know, honestly, it turns my brains to mush. I can't pretend for a minute that I'm really able to follow the argument of the debates. Part of it, yes, parts of it, I haven't a clue what they're talking about." This is revealing because far from being a schlocky talking head, Koppel was and remains a symbol of highbrow television journalism. Even among that lofty set, it was his and is fashionable to hold yourself above petty squabbles over numbers. Reporters and pundits can be aggressively judgmental on lifestyle issues, personal character, and questions of pure politics, such as which candidates are winning and which are losing. On economics, they simply throw up their hands. As Grover Norquist once put it, the New York Times understands sex, it doesn't understand money. Among the elite media, disdain for policy debates is actually a point of pride. One of the reasons the right has had such an easy time concealing its unpopular positions from the public, then, is that the political media have neither the capacity nor the desire to stop them. Another episode from the 2000 campaign offers a sense of how easy it can be to smuggle an unpopular economic policy past an unsuspecting public. At the time, Bush had what by all rights should have been a massive political liability. A 2000 Washington Post poll found that 8 in 10 voters who worried about health care issues favored a patient's bill of rights that allowed lawsuits against health maintenance organizations that improperly denied coverage. Gore favored this. Bush opposed it. The patient's bill of rights that advanced the furthest in Congress and had become synonymous in Washington with HMO reform was sponsored by John Dingell, a Democrat, and Charlie Norwood, a Republican. In the third presidential debate, the very first questioner asked about the issue. Gore noted, "A national law that is pending on this, the Dingell-Norwood bill, a bipartisan bill, is one that I support and that the Governor Bush does not." In his reply, Bush shot back, "Actually, Mr. Vice President, it's not true. I do support a national patient's bill of rights. As a matter of fact, I brought Republicans and Democrats together to do just that in the state of Texas to get a patient's bill of rights through." Bush's reply was doubly misleading. First, he implied that he supported the Dingell-Norwood bill, which he did not. Bush did support legislation on the issue, but he supported a version that nearly every advocate of HMO reform believed would weaken the relevant laws. Second, he claimed to have shepherded through a patient's bill of rights in Texas when, in fact, the law passed over his objection. Of course, the average viewer had no capacity to sift through the evidence. He merely heard Bush say that Gore was lying when he said his opponent opposed the bipartisan bill and that Bush had championed such a measure in Texas. After Bush's response, Gore attempted to interject, "We have a direct disagreement on this." Jim Lehrer, the PBS news anchor and debate host, tried to stop Gore and said impatiently, "Before we go on to another question in the health area, would you agree that you two agree on a national patient's bill of rights?" This was incredible. Not only was Lehrer interjecting himself into the debate to make Bush's point for him, he was saying something clearly untrue. Gore immediately replied, "Absolutely not." He explained the difference between Dingell Norwood and what he described as the toothless alternative favored by Bush, concluding, "I specifically would like to know whether Governor Bush will support the Dingell Norwood bill, which is the main one pending." Lehrer, growing even more impatient, once again stepped in, "Governor Bush, you may answer that if you'd like, but also I'd like to know how you see the differences between the two of you, and we need to move on." Bush dutifully answered, "Well, the difference is that I can get it done." Lehrer tried to move on to another question, but Gore interjected, "What about the Dingell Norwood bill?" Lehrer interrupted Gore's interruption, letting Bush explain more about his leadership style. The consensus reaction to this episode among the punditry was that Al Gore had once again displayed the arrogance and bad manners that made him so tiresome. Gore's repeated invocation of Dingell Norwood in particular became an instant punchline. The following Sunday on ABC News and talk show This Week, Sam Donaldson launched into a tongue-in-cheek riff on the whole thing. "We thought as a public service we'd just show you who Dingell and Norwood are," at which point ABC flashed pictures of the two members of Congress while Donaldson ticked off biographical trivia about them without saying a word about their bill or noting that Bush opposed it. All this was too much for George Stephanopoulos, the former Clinton advisor who was then holding down the liberal seat on the discussion panel. "The important point here," he insisted, "is that George Bush didn't answer the question about the Dingell Norwood bill." "No, no," insisted his fellow panelist, Cokie Roberts. "The doyen of respectable conventional wisdom, actually, I don't, she's the doyen of respectable conventional wisdom. Actually, I don't think that that's the important point here." "Why not?" asked Stephanopoulos. "Because that's not what comes across when you're watching the debate," Roberts explained. "What comes across when you're watching the debate is this guy from Washington doing Washington speak. The notion that every point of a public affairs program is to explain what the Washington speak means does not seem to have occurred to Roberts and Donaldson." All right, I want to get to this Beatles Black Album. So let's get right to that, because you have a special edition of Storytime at 5 coming up, so I got to end on time. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Counselors had to play to you, dummies, for a long time.
That's great.
Well, I would like to say how swell it is.
Buy it. I did 15 clubs a day. I know she thought I knew the answer, but I knew what I could not say.
One 8-1 sync, camera A. A riff, technical terms.
Been to Albufeira, I had a few drinks there. And now I'm on my way home. I really don't care. And I've been eating.
Everybody rocking tonight. Lisa Atwell Smith by Henry Gibson.
Change my world.
Move it out.
Nothing's gonna John on Vamping Acoustic,
it.
Too.
I'll run it as
and we go on finger pop.
Thank you.
the sun could fly from covering. Crossroads I'm standing at. Or maybe it's the weather or something like that. All my images on my mind. I'm not asking you to say words like yes or no.
Damn it, go down for that. domino.
You're gonna love this on Russian.
That's the Beatles Black Album here on KPW 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon. Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Simulcast on KPW.org. Alright, so yeah, this month is our fundraiser, so I'll be playing sides 5 and 6 on the next couple weeks. And please support us, because this month, if you send us money and put Helios on your check, they will double it for you. So yeah, I hear that there is a special episode of Storytime coming up called Fire on the Mountain. And you know, I just noticed that I live over by the mill, and I was worried that, you know, when it hit Thurston, I thought, heck, my house is going to get burned down. And which is, you know, I feel for anybody that who has lost, all the people that have lost stuff. My heart goes out to you. But, you know, they're not going to let the mill burn down because, you know, there's too much money involved in that. So, Oregon, we have town every 50 miles. So, but, of course, they're not going to let the corporations burn down. And real quick, and I don't mean to make light of the situation. Like I say, my heart goes out to him. I was talking to my sister about, and she said someone called in the radio and was complaining about all the smoke. And the smoke is horrible. And someone was complaining about all the smoke. So somebody else calls in and says, you know, that smoke represents all the losses, all the animals and plants that have died, and all the houses and all of memorabilia and all that stuff and all the money that has just gone up in smoke. That's what that smoke represents. So you need to think when you're breathing in that smoke. And I said, yeah, and you're getting all that smoke for free. You're getting all that stuff for free. You're breathing it in. For free. People had to pay for that stuff. You're getting it for free. So, yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. But, you know, comedy versus, what is it? Time versus tragedy. Tragedy plus time is comedy. So, I guess it's a little too soon for that. Anyway, cheer up out there. Like I say, I'm very close to, I was very close to losing my house. So, I feel for you that have lost your houses. But yeah, we got to stop building houses in these areas in the first place. So the developers, once again, the government and the developers are usually the problems. You can trace back to the developers. Okay, so yeah, coming up, a special edition called Fire on the Mountain of Storytime. And please, like I say, send us your support. You need to support independent media because we're going to give you a different perspective on this stuff. Not necessarily my perspective, but because that was a terrible perspective. But yeah, please support independent media this month. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also KPW.org.
Thank you for listening to KEPW-LP 97.3 FM, Peaceworks Community Radio in Eugene, Oregon, and streaming online at www.kepw.org.
Occupy Medical offers free medical services to all in need,
every Sunday from noon until 4 p.m. Soon, they will be offering free shuttle.
This is KEPW 97.3 FM LP. You can stream us online at kepw.org. We've got the classical station on in the background. We're also in the middle of our yearly fundraiser where we ask our listeners to call up and donate some money. You can do a one-time donation, or you can do a monthly donation of a certain amount, but everybody that is involved with KEPW is a volunteer. And we actually have a pretty small crew of people that do a lot of work. And so we spend a lot of our time volunteering for KEPW because we love KEPW. It's one of, I would say, the last grassroots movements going on here in Eugene. We go out with our little microphones and we go to the protests and we inquire about homeless camp breakups, and we get the good news from places like Reality Kitchen over there on River Road, and just try to find the good things that are happening here in Eugene also. And we all have our own shows that we produce, lots of different variety. Julia's Country Corner Sundays at 8 is our little country session, and she's a blind producer, and her grandparents are lovely, and Julia's lovely. And that's just a little taste of the variety that puts KEPW together. So if you love variety and you love community and you love KEPW, maybe you could flip us a few bucks. That would be so helpful. And it goes to pay our bills and our rent and